Hi there, everybody. This is Abby here, and I just want to thank you for joining us today. Today, I have another rock star PE teacher that has been changing the game for us all, especially during COVID. So I'm going to have him introduce himself, and we're going to get straight into it, asking questions, picking his brain on how he has evolved in this profession and continues to influence all of us today. So please, Tom, introduce yourself for us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Tom Gilardi. I've been teaching physical education for a little over 15 years at the elementary level, all in New York City. I am super excited to be here. I am a father of three little children. The oldest is under four. And just recently, past couple years, I was able to convince my wife to change her career to PE. So we're in it together, which is fantastic.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. So I haven't met a partnership for PE. So that's. I'd like to know how you convinced. Let's start off there. How did you, after 15 years, and I'm not sure how long you all have been together, but what type of strategy did you use to convince your wife to switch subjects?
It was an ultimatum. No. You know, she was working in the city and long hours. She would be getting home 6:37 almost every day. And, you know, we were going to have a family together. And I'm like, you know, Chrissy, let's do something where we can be together more. Like, would you like to be a teacher? Because I know through some connections in the city that helped you get into that program a little easier. She's like, no, I'm fine. Then once we had our firstborn, she's like, I need to be home with her. I need to be home. I'm like, okay, but then let me help you get into a program. So I was fortunate enough at that time to have known some educators that were in the, what they call a Pathways program, which is the quickest route to becoming a PE teacher in the city. She was able to get into that program, and I just walked her through it, you know, through taking the exams and student teaching. And it was funny because she, the best way for me to help her was by videotaping myself constantly. So whenever I was teaching, I'd videotape myself, say, hey, Chrissy, this is why I did this, this is why I did that, thinking I'm helping her and not realizing I'm actually helping myself. Because I remember one particular lesson where, I was teaching and there was this second grade boy right in front of my camera who did everything I wanted from the beginning to the end. It was amazing. And not one time did I walk over to him and say, hey, great job, how you doing? It's like I just didn't see him. I'm like, that can't happen. You can't go 45 minutes without at least saying hello to every student in your class. So I've learned through that experience that while I'm teaching, to have them have practice time and go to different sections of the gym every time I take a break so that I can see every kid. So I was helping her and I was helping myself, which is pretty cool. And now this is our third summer that we spent together, and it's been great.
Well, that was an amazing adjustment. And as a person who's changed careers herself and was looking for the fastest program to get this thing started, I totally understand, and I can appreciate you taking the time to work side by side with your wife to get into this great career. Can you tell us how you even became a teacher? Were you always PE? Like, where was the start? Did you go to school, everything like that?
Yeah, I was always into sports and being active, and when I went to college, my father's like, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. I mean, who really knows at 18? At that time, I wanted to play soccer in college and really went undecided as far as my learning going on there. It really wasn't until I graduated and I had this degree. I had an exercise science degree that could put me in all different types of professions, that I really realized after college I was kind of lost. And I remember going back to my university. I went to Manhattan College and speaking to the advisor at the time. It was Dr. Ladder. Well, I believe she still works there. And she's like, you know, Tom, listen, you love playing soccer. Have you ever thought about coaching soccer? And I said, I never really thought about it. And then I started Googling coaching, playing, teaching. And I happened to see, do you like working with kids? Do you like being active? Do you like being funny? And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. So then I did this gymboree. It was called The Little Gym. And you just teach basic sports and activities to young children. And that's where I really fell in love with teaching. So then I decided to go back to school. Went to Adelphi University for physical education. And the biggest thing was I got mentored well. I happened to go to a great school with a teacher that had over 35 years teaching experience. She was super passionate and she took me under her wing and really was teaching me the ins and outs, even how to blow the whistle correctly, where to stand, what to say. It was really like attention to detail was huge and it just made me so much more passionate into the profession. And I happened to work in that building. You know, it weren't too often that student teachers go from being mentored to then working there. I worked there for about 4 years. I was teaching K-5 Gen Ed physical education, which was fantastic. And then I left there for a little bit, taught adaptive physical education, where I was working with students with autism. And that's where I really learned to start filming myself, because there's never enough help in the class when you're working with students with special needs. And if I filmed myself and videotaped myself doing something, it gave me the opportunity when my students were watching myself to then go behind and actually assist myself teaching, which is pretty cool. And then I just left there in 2014, and now I'm in my current school in Queens, New York, teaching K-5 physical education. So it's been great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So when it comes to K-5, I was a K-5 teacher. We know that that is a special place to be. How have you continued to be drawn to that K-5 and not necessarily experimented with older students?
I did spend a little time as a substitute for about a year teaching at the high school, middle school level. I just love working with young children. They bring out the best in me. They make me feel like a kid. I connect well with them. It's just, I make it fun. And when you make it fun, it never gets old. Last year was a little challenging because of all the restrictions. I think that if I had to do a year like that for the next 3-4 years, I may have to look for something else. It was so draining. But I think I'm going to be optimistic, and I think things will eventually go back to the way it was. And if that's the case, I'm always going to have fun teaching at that level.
Now, speaking of COVID, can you tell us a little bit more about how you were able to pivot and navigate throughout the year with all of your restrictions? Were you in person? Were you strictly online? What are some of the key things that you had to kind of just adjust to make sure that it worked and you can still provide that fun environment for your students?
Yeah, I mean, when it first happened in March, what was it, a year and a half ago almost now, it was, I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe it was like a little 2-week vacation, we're gonna get back. I didn't realize this was not gonna end. And so from March of that year to June, we had to figure out Google Classroom, and we had to, everything could be pre-recorded. So we didn't have to go live, which for me was a relief because I've never done this before, and I'm worried about glitches and maybe not poor internet connection. But the fact that I was able to do pre-recorded videos really gave me the opportunity to create. So that was great. So now I knew what I was going to do. The next part was, okay, where am I going to find the space to videotape myself? I was very fortunate that the house I live in has a basement that is a studio apartment. And the people that were living below us had just bought a house before the pandemic and have moved away. And we were in the process of putting new furniture down there. And then the pandemic hit and we're like, let's put a kibosh on the furniture right now. So I had this open space in my basement. I'm like, this is meant, listen, I got the space and I got this issue. So I was really fortunate there. And then as far as creating content, I knew that it was gonna have to be skill-based and something that they can do in a very, very, very small space. I have students that really just have like a hallway to work with. So I always thought to myself, if I can create videos where we can work in a tiny space, even it being, you know, a small hallway, it would work. You know, I can't guarantee every kid would have a ball, a jump rope, or a hula hoop. In New York City, I'd be lucky if half the kids have that. So then I knew I would have to use whatever household equipment we have. And, you know, when you're an active member on Twitter and other social media outlooks for finding content, you just see PE teachers from around the country who are in the same predicament, who are kind of trying to create videos as well. So getting inspired to come up with activities wasn't really difficult. So I just started doing it, and I started making my first couple of videos, and it took a while because I wasn't familiar with iMovie. Something, you know, is probably the easiest application out there as far as editing, and it took me forever to just navigate it. But listen, when you're in a situation where you need to do pre-recorded videos, you have to figure it out. So once I figured that out, and believe me, if you really look at my first, if you go on my YouTube channel and you look at my 3 to 4 PE at home challenges, it was all one take because I didn't know how to edit. I would just go from the beginning to the end, and I was not a perfectionist, but if I really stuttered over my words, I'd start from the beginning, and I wouldn't care if I was at the very end. I'm like, thank you all for coming. Oh my goodness. No! I would start all over. And it benefited me in that I got more comfortable in front of the camera. But boy, oh boy, you can't make a 3-4 minute video that's gonna take you an hour and a half to do. So once I learned how to edit it, it's made it a lot quicker. And I started making content.
That's amazing. That's been one of the topics that I've been thinking about and just trying to figure out on my own when it comes to educators and content and figuring out what is valuable to create for your students versus what is popular. So we know sometimes as PE teachers, we're just seen as, oh, we're just the fun teachers and things of that nature. But one of the things I had to adjust to was like, I still have things to teach. So I had to do live. I went live. I was on Zoom the entire year and we were in person. So I had half, at the first of the year, we had half in, half out. And then throughout the year, more people came. So we were allowed to have 100% capacity, but there were still students who were either stuck out of the country, parents chose not to bring them back and things of that nature. So I had to play on both sides and finding engagement was very difficult. And so coming from a place where it's just like, yes, these activities are fun. No, we can't use equipment. Getting down to the nitty-gritty of what do I really need my students to be exposed to have these skills transfer as they continue to age. So with you, how did you prioritize, like, to say, this is my curriculum for this year? We're not just going to dance all year long. We're not just going to throw tissue. But, like, how did you find those skill-based things to say, now I'm on a track. I'm not just creating random stuff, but you're following something that can live and you can use these same resources for years to come.
Yeah, excellent question. So I had to do pre-recorded in the beginning. And then as this year came, we were similar to you. I was in person and I wasn't seeing a full class, but I was in person. But being in person during this situation was no equipment, no sharing equipment. Got to stay 6 feet apart. And then you got to keep your mask on. So with those restrictions, you're limited. You know, you can't go ahead and say, okay, let's teach us, you know, let's work on kicking and do a soccer unit and let's play an activity. There's no moving around allowed. So you have to like think of those limitations. And then I think about my curriculum and what would I be doing, and is there any way I could do what I've done in the past now and during this situation? And it's difficult. And I just found that I would just go without equipment in the beginning. I said, you know what? This is the pandemic. They've probably been not exercising as much as I'd like. I didn't spend a lot of time doing fitness years prior because we have such a rigorous unit we need to get to. that I decided to focus in on that. And I was really shocked on how many students can barely hold a high plank or a plank for more than 10, 20 seconds. So that was when I'm like, I gotta work on fitness. So I spent a lot of the year in the beginning working on the proper way to do push-ups, ways to work on upper body, where to work on lower body. And then after a few months of that, I would then work on basic skills where each of them would get a piece of equipment. I was very fortunate that I can give them each a beanbag or a hula hoop. And so we'd work on those skills. And let's say we would work on underhand throwing. They'd have to work all by themselves. I would have just basic tossing maybe to the wall and retrieving it. And then afterwards I'd say, okay, when you go home, go to your Google Classroom and do this underhand throw challenge to link up with what we learned in class. So it was almost like PE homework. And so that was the motivation to continue to make videos, even though I was in person, because I knew that what they were limited to as far as being with me, they can do some of that at home. So I would teach throwing, catching, I would teach all the skills in person as far as the critical elements and what they need to learn. And then I would send them home and do one of my assignments so that they could master it and practice it at home. And that kind of formula really worked well for me.
We had a similar experience. Of course, all of us did in pivoting to say, okay, no. So we actually did no equipment for a very, very long time. Honestly, until probably the last 5-6 weeks of school. So everything we did was, and fortunately, I'm here in Dubai. So after you get outside the hot months, like, you know, the weather's just beautiful. So, you know, we are able to go outside and do some other things. But, even with my team, like, we were discussing, like, we didn't have time like this to discuss, like, literally the fitness components, like, skill-based fitness and things of that nature. So I appreciated removing the distraction of equipment that it can be. It's helpful, it's beneficial, but a lot of times we focus too much on the dribbling skills and the catching and the throwing skills, but the kids don't know why they're doing all of this stuff. So very grateful for all of that. And then, so what I wanted to ask you now, so thank you for that particular explanation. One of the things I admired about your videos, now I know you said that you were a perfectionist earlier and you were learning how to edit and all those other things, but one of the things that I admired about your videos was the simplicity, because I feel like a lot of PE teachers, or a lot of teachers in general, like shied away from creating content because they felt they had to be, you know, the PE Bowmans of this world, or they had to learn all this crazy stuff in order to produce content. So when it comes down to it, it's just like, you kept it very simple and engaging. My kids enjoyed your stuff. I enjoyed your stuff. And for me, the most important part was that it was created. It was done. And it didn't have to be fancy. So it's just like, how did you get to the point where it's just like, I just need to do the video or you know, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And you're right. It depends. It can be very intimidating when you see amazing content from other teachers that just have the background in technology. It's amazing. And I thought to myself, I could spend hours trying to figure that out with really no help. I mean, let's face it, we're on our own unless I contact him via internet and figure it out. Or I can say to myself, listen, that's amazing content that I'm gonna share with my students. That's their niche. That's fantastic. I'm gonna use that and not try to create it myself when that's really not my forte and I can spend hours and hours trying to figure it out. You know, and again, like you said, you know, keep it simple. You know, one of my greatest strengths is teaching. So that's what I wanted to show in my videos. And I had, as far as being a perfectionist, I just wanted to make sure that when I was teaching, that I didn't want to just hit the students who were watching me for them to understand how and why I'm doing it, but I also wanted to make sure that my content was going to help out, like, new teachers that have been teaching for a year, 2-3 years, because of this pandemic, they were not properly mentored to be teachers. You know, they had to do it through the internet like we. You know, they didn't get that pure student teaching experience that you would normally get that would help you in your learning. So I knew when I created the video, I wanted to be very clear, very specific, and I wanted to teach as if I was teaching my students so that those teachers can then see me and watch how I teach, and they say to themselves, okay, so this is how I need to teach my own classes. Like that's how I liked it. I liked the way he was doing it. And so I felt it was helping the teachers and it was helping the students. And so I just kept it simple, used an iPad, and filmed myself and went from there and learned from there.
Thank you so much for that. Those are all very wonderful points and things that I know that I had been struggling with throughout my particular year, making sure that the things that I produced were to the caliber that if my students were with me, they could follow the same type of instructions. And I agree that having this material ready for new teachers to see, to adopt best practices and things of that nature is great. And so I thank you for putting out good quality content that will help the new people entering into this field have a positive example. And then once again, just showing them there's growth that can be done. You don't have to be all that somebody else is. So there's like, especially in PE, there's no like, this is the standard. We all have our different strengths right. And weaknesses.
And, you know, just to piggyback on that, when I was videotaping myself and, you know, if I made a mistake, sometimes I would just leave it. If it was a little mistake, I'd leave it. And I just tell myself, going forward on my next video, I'm going to fix that mistake. And that's really the biggest thing is don't be a perfectionist. It's okay to look like, you know, you're human and you're making mistakes. But learn from them and don't make them again. Just keep learning from them and boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, you're teaching at an extremely high level because you have fixed every single mistake, which is easy to find when you're videotaping yourself.
But also you can't discount at the level that you're at. So, you know, the thing that I may deem simple may be mind-blowing to somebody else. And even for you, like there's some people that don't know how to press record on their camera. There are people who are just super uncomfortable in front of camera and they can't shake it. So like to even get to a process to where you can complete a whole video, you have things posted, you have people loving your content, that is a place that other people are not. There are older teachers, there are younger teachers who are just, they can't get it together on there, so they rely on other people's resources, which there's no shame in that, but for me, it's always about promoting growth and just making those incremental advancements so that you can learn for yourself and also provide other things to your students. So that's great. As we wrap this up, I would love to hear maybe three tips that you have for just educators in general. It can be PE specific, it can be new people, old people. Just three tips that you would give some individuals going into this next school year that will help prepare them for the unknown.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, I want to believe that next year we'll have some restrictions, but I think in New York City the restrictions will be just wearing a mask, and I think everything else will kind of go back. So, I mean, tip number one would be to make certain that you're creating a safe and healthy environment for your students. An environment where students feel like, you know, it's okay if they make mistakes because they know they're going to get encouraged by not only the teacher but by their fellow classmates. So the best way to do that is to have rules that will create a safe and healthy environment and make certain that whatever rules you have set, that you consistently get your students to follow them. So consistency is going to be the key to creating a safe and healthy environment. That's number one. Number two, the best way for you to show growth as a teacher is by constantly videotaping your lessons. So step one for me in the beginning of the year is I send out letters home to every parent to get them to sign off that they can be videotaped, mainly for educational purposes. I don't think I would look to put them on YouTube or Twitter or anything like that. I mean, I may one day if it's allowed, but it's really for my own educational purposes. Once I get the approval from every student, I'm videotaping myself every lesson. And either on my prep time or a little time before school, I'll look at myself and I'll find ways to improve. That is the best way. Because realistically, in every building you're going to work at, you're going to get observed by either your principal or assistant principal to have know nothing about your content, and they're going to give you basic feedback because they're forced to be there, right? Even if you work in a really good school where you have an athletic director that's passionate about PE, yeah, they're going to come in and give you better feedback, but you're going to get that feedback 3, maybe 4 times a year. As opposed to videotape yourself, and if you think you're perfect, right? If you look at yourself and you're like, I did everything perfect, then have a mentor or any other phys ed teacher that you feel confident in to watch your content as well, and then maybe they can provide you some feedback. And if you do that over and over and over, by the end of one calendar year, your growth will skyrocket. Okay, so if you want to show growth, videotape yourself, create a safe and healthy environment. And I think lastly, advocate for yourself. The biggest thing is, before this pandemic, I would always go to my classroom teachers and tell them, you know, because prior to the pandemic, I had made about 25 to 30 dance videos on YouTube prior, because there was a lot of times I was kicked out of my gymnasium for bake sales, election day, all kinds of things. And I was put into the classroom. And I remember playing my dance video warm-up as part of my lesson. And I would tell the teachers, like, listen, when they need a brain break, play my content. And they're like, oh no, we have Gold Noodle already. We have this, we have that. We have other videos we use. I'm like, I get that, but this is good content and it's me. But they never really bought it. They never bought it. And then once the pandemic hit and teachers were now scrambling to find content, well, all of a sudden they're like, oh, let me try Coach Gilardi's videos. And they're like, hey, Tom, I really liked it. My kids are enjoying this. We're going to do this more. Now all of a sudden, I'm teaching in all the classrooms of my school. So I finally earned that respect from the teachers. And because of that, I've been able to teach at an even higher level, because once your classroom teachers promote you big time, then it helps with the students being motivated even more to see you. And so advocate for yourself, create a safe and healthy environment, and always videotape your lessons to improve would be my 3 tips going into next year.
Those were wonderful tips, and I can't tell you enough how I have uttered those same sentiments and the importance of creating content and sharing it with your students. And it's you. And it's you. There's something different. Like, it's great to have all of these other resources and things that you can supplement maybe for, you know, a beginning or a do now or to end off the class. But there's something special about your students seeing you give instructions, seeing you dance. It helps build community in your schools. It helps build trust among your students. And they get a kick out of seeing you doing something that may be even silly. And your staff, you get so much more rapport and respect from your coworkers seeing you put in that extra effort. And so I agree with you 110% on the fact that your students need to see you, especially if they're not with you, going into next year. So thank you so much for that. Please, 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 Coach, tell us all of the places and spaces where we can see you, follow you, continue to encourage you. Please share that with us.
Yes, thank you. So I do have my YouTube channel. It's called Coach Gilardi. It has a ton of content in regards to any type of PE at home activities that you would like to do, or skill-based. And with this upcoming year, if you're going to be in person, look to do it as almost as PE homework, kind of like what I did last year, where they learn the skill in school, but get them to do an assignment after school. It also has a ton of PE warm-ups and best practices. I also have a Twitter account, Coach Gilardi, where I've been very active on there. I also have an Instagram account, which is also Coach Gilardi, and I have a Facebook group called Phys Ed Zone, which is all for K-8 PE teachers to just share and content and really just have a nice positive environment together, to where we could just even give each other basic advice. And very recently, I opened up a TikTok account, Coach Gilardi, and I teach 30-second clips of very basic tips to help all PE teachers, new and old, from like how to blow a whistle correctly, how to keep kids quiet, to, you know, you name it, I hit every topic. So definitely go and check all of that out.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, and thank everybody who watched. Definitely just giving a platform for all of our fantastic teachers out there in the world who are giving their best to their students, but also to us. If you know of anybody that you'd like to hear more from, or you have any questions for Coach Gilardi, please, I'll put all of his information at the end of the video. Please also just share maybe a tip that you have. If you're an educator, if you had an experience in PE when you were a child that you really enjoyed it, that you remember, go ahead and comment below on that. And until next time, we want to thank you.